But God had a plan. Thank you for that. Y'all did a good job on that. Appreciate that very much. We got ourselves a bass coming up. Oh, amen. We got it working on. Amen. We're excited about that. Grab your Bibles, if you would. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1. We've got a Christmas message for you next week. I'm going to preach on the message on gifts that we ought to give Jesus. We're going to be celebrating His birthday, but oftentimes we don't reference any kind of gifts for Him. And we're going to talk about gifts that we as Christians ought to give to Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that next week, so you don't want to miss that. But I've got a message that God's given me, and I want to share it with you. And hopefully it'll be a help to you. I know different people are going through different things at different times in their lives. 1 Peter chapter 1. Stand with me when you get there. Stand with me when you get there. Hopefully everybody's already gone to the restroom, gotten that all out of our systems. And that way there won't be any kind of distractions while we're here in the service this morning. We'll be able to focus and allow God to speak to our hearts. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 6. It says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that first, the phrase there at the beginning of verse number 6, or throughout verse number 6, the Bible says, wherein greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. There's a three-worded phrase, if need be. The Bible tells us we're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Got a message entitled, Why Does God Allow Us to Suffer? Why does God allow us to suffer? Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You for the truths of the Word of God. Lord, I know everyone in here has gone through different things in their lives. And I can't even imagine where everyone is at. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually even. We know physically we're here, but sometimes we can be here without being here completely because our minds are wandering in all the different places with all the different burdens and trials that we're facing. Lord, as we deal with this difficult truth this morning, I pray that You remove some things out of our minds so that we can be able to focus wholly on Your Word and understand why the trials are coming into our lives and why things are allowed to happen the way that they are. And while we may never fully understand all the whys, Lord, there are some whats that You want us to learn from it. And I pray that You teach us that this morning, use and guide us. Show us some truths from Your Word. May You be lifted up and glorified. We'll praise You and thank You for it all. We ask this in Your name and pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Now, all of us have faced things in our lives that many times you may even felt like was unfair. You may have felt like it wasn't right. You may have felt like that you were wrongfully accused or wrongfully going through different things. And sometimes in the midst of those trials, in the midst of those burdens, we even question if God's really even there. Sometimes we even question and it questions our faith. And we question why God even allows all of those things to happen in our lives. And so sometimes we struggle with it personally. We struggle with it spiritually. We may struggle with these things mentally and emotionally. And all these different trials that we go through. But notice what your Bible says in verse 6. He says, Peter is telling those Christians that are scattered about, they've gone through persecution. He's telling them that we can rejoice in the midst of the trial that we're facing. Now, I don't know any of us that as we're going through trials, we're going through heartaches, as we're going through the burdens that we're carrying, as we find out that a loved one may be passing away, or that we find out that our spouse may have come down with cancer, all these different trials that we go through in life, I don't know any of us that begin to immediately rejoice and clap our hands saying, oh yay, I'm glad it was me. None of us do that. So what does he mean that we can rejoice in the midst of all of this? There's some truths that we're going to get to this morning as we go through the Word of God and systematically go through Scripture. But I want to lay a foundation for you. Notice it says, you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Now, any of you that's lived in Oklahoma for any length of time, you know that some seasons are longer than others. And some seasons you're ready for them to be over before they're ready to be finished, right? We know many times summer, it goes on and on and on, and then we have a glimpse of what fall will look like, and then it never shows its face again. We very rarely have a decent fall. And we know some seasons last longer than others. We know that some seasons may be a little bit shorter than others. But we also know that in the seasons that we face in life, that there is going to be a beginning, but there's also going to be an end. The end will be eventual. We don't know when that end will be, but there will be a season. And the Bible says, though now for a season, that means the short time that we're going to be faced with this trial, with this burden, with this heaviness, the Bible says these three words, if need be. There are some things that we need in our lives. He said, nobody needs to face cancer. Nobody needs to go through a spouse having dementia. Nobody needs to go through the death of a loved one. No one needs to go through those. No, listen, there are things in our lives that God allows to happen because we need them. All right, and let me explain all this to you. In the Christian life, not everything is rainbows and unicorns. All right? Not everything is happy-go-lucky. Not everything is living on the mountain 100% of the time. In order to get to the mountaintop, you've got to climb some hills, right? And usually in between two mountains, there's going to be something we call a valley. And sometimes in your life, you're going to be facing these valleys. You're going to be going through these hard times. And the reality is in your life, there is good and there is bad. And sometimes there's blessings that come, but sometimes there's brokenness. Sometimes there's brokenness. Now in nature, and even in our lives, things that are broken, what do? We tend to throw them away, right? They become useless to us. But that's not that way in the Christian life. You see, with God, things are not usable until they're broken. You can go throughout the Word of God and you'll see time and again that things are not usable until those things become broken. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 4 to break up the fallow ground. If a farmer is going to plant fields and fields and fields of soybean or plant corn and tomatoes and all these different things, before he can ever have the fruit of the labor of those things, he first has to go and break up the ground. He first has to plow. He first has to make something that's usable. I think of Gideon in the Old Testament. Gideon and his 300 mighty men, they had torches of light, but they were told to cover those torches with a pitcher. Now, while that torch was still burning, people could not see it until the pitcher or the vase was broken. And so sometimes God's fire and God's power in your life cannot be seen until the vessel that we live in becomes broken. And there are times in our lives where broken things are going to bring honor and glory to God. God can never use somebody until He breaks them. Just like a horse that's wild, he's unusable before he's broken. But once that horse is broken, then that horse can be used even to allow a baby to ride on its back. We would never put our baby on a wild Mustang, correct? No, we wouldn't, because it's not wise. The horse isn't broken. And so sometimes we need to understand that when God is allowing trials to happen, sometimes He's allowing breaking to take place. And we can rest assured that if we are going through the breaking process, then that is a sure sign that God is working on our behalf. That God is working in us and He's working through us. God is trying to make something in our lives. Something that right now we may not understand, but something that one day will astound both us and the onlookers as well. People will be shocked at the wisdom and the beauty that comes from that which is broken in our lives. The things that we thought were the greatest trials and tragedies that we've ever faced, later we find out that was God's way of bringing a blessing into our lives that we otherwise would not have been able to handle. You see, sunshine all the time only creates deserts. Correct? If all you have is sunshine nonstop, then you're going to have a desert that forms. So we're going to have the dark clouds. We're going to have the storms. We're going to have the rains. And sometimes we're going to have the flooding. We may not always understand why these things happen. But as a child of God, you don't have to understand it. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 11, verse number 1, sorry. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Sometimes you're not going to see what God is doing in the midst of the trial that you're facing. Sometimes you're not going to understand it. But sometimes God doesn't want you to understand it immediately. God just wants you to trust Him by faith. We may not always understand why things happen, but we don't always have to know the why. We have to know the who of the trial, and that's Jesus Christ. We've got to know that He is still on the throne. And we have got to trust God by faith. You see, faith is believing what we cannot see or understand. Faith is believing what we cannot see and what we cannot understand. See, I can't see God, but I believe that He is. And the Bible says He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek them. I cannot understand the ways of God. The Bible says that my thoughts are not His thoughts. My ways are not His ways. I'm not going to fully understand everything that God is doing. But I ought to trust Him by faith because He knows what's best. You see, the very fact that we cannot understand why God deals with us in the ways that He does is for the purpose of us exercising our faith. It's for the purpose of us exercising our faith and trusting that God knows what's going on. You see, I've heard the question many times in life, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? There's not always an answer, other than the fact that God knows and He's still on His throne. That God is still in control. Hold your place here. Go back with me to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. We're going to use a lot of Bible this morning. I want to show you these truths because I think they're going to help you as you go through these trials and these things that you face in your life. You need to remember, it's not always about the why in your life. It's about the who. Okay? It's about the who, and we need to understand who it is that wants to get honor and glory in our lives. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. I was sharing this with someone just the other day. Romans 8, 28. The Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Now notice your Bible. It does not say that all things are good, does it? It says we know that all things work together for good. I'll give this illustration. It's very, very simple, very plain. If you were to take a cake, how many of you love cakes? Most all of us, all right? If you take a cake, that cake would be a good thing to have. And probably for some that have diabetes, it's not too good of a thing to have. I understand that. But a cake is a good thing to have. But if you take that cake and you separate it by ingredient, I don't know anybody in their right mind that wants to eat a cake by its ingredients. Massive amounts of salt are not good. They're not good for you, but they're not good either. If you were to take and eat a cup of flour, that would not be good. That would be disgusting. And then you take that vanilla extract. A lot of times that stuff's nasty. And you take and you eat the cake by ingredient, you eat a raw egg. I mean, who wants to do these kind of things? But while all those things may not be good by themselves, they all work together and they create something that is beautiful. And they create something that is good. They create something that we enjoy. Now, while the trials and things that you face in your life may not individually be enjoyable, you may cringe at those things. You may not enjoy going through those trials. God's trying to work each one of those things out in your life to create something beautiful. God's trying to create something good in your life. Go back with me to 1 Peter. The Bible states that our faith needs testing. And the Bible has all the answers to all of life's questions. So there's four things I want to give you this morning as we go through the scriptures on why God allows us to suffer the way that He does. Why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? Why does God allow me to go through this trial? Well, first and foremost, I want you to know God's allowing this trial in your life, number one, because there's a place that God's trying to elevate you to. There's a place that God is trying to elevate you to. Now notice, verse number 7, the Bible says in verse 6, 1 Peter 1, 6, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations." And then He tells us why we're going through the trials that we're going through. Look at verse 7. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." You'll notice in verse number 7, the trial of our faith is precious. The Bible says, "being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though we be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory." So the reason God's allowing trials to happen in our lives, there's a place that God wants to elevate us to, yes. But I want you to notice in verse number 7 that we have a precious faith. We have a precious faith. And that precious faith is only developed in the trial. That precious faith is only developed in the trial. Look at verse 7. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth," talking about your faith's precious, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise. And so the only way of our faith can be found unto praise and honor and glory is that we go through the trial. Our precious faith is developed during the trial. But also we see that a purging fire devours in the trial. Notice that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth it, though it be tried with fire. What does fire do to gold? What does fire do to silver? As it heats up those elements, you have the impurities, or what they call the dross, that rises to the top. And then what are those gemologists and the different ones that are dealing with this metal, what do? They begin to scrape the dross off the top to purify the metal. They get rid of the impurities. And the hotter the heat, the more times it's purified, the more pure it becomes. The more dross is raised to the top, the more it's scraped off. And so we see that a precious faith is developed in the trial, but also we see a purging fire devours in the midst of the trial. So sometimes when God's trying to elevate us to the place that He wants us to be, sometimes He's got to burn some impurities out of our lives. Sometimes He's got to get some things to rise to the top to be able to scrape those things out of our lives, to be able to clean some things up. But also, we note that a priceless find is discovered beyond the trial. A priceless find is discovered beyond the trial. Notice what happens after the trial. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Notice what happens next. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory. When? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. God allowed the trial to happen. Why? Because He wanted to bring praise, honor, and glory through our lives to Himself. So this is the find that takes place after the trial. We have to endure these trials. We've got to endure these hard times. We've got to endure the heaviness of life sometimes, because there's a priceless find that we gather after the trial. There's something that we get after the fact, and that's we get to praise the Lord. We get to grow in our faith. We get to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. We get to develop a little bit more patience than what we would have had. We get to develop a little bit more understanding about the will of God in our lives than we would have had. We get to develop some things that we can help somebody else with later on down the road. We'll get to that here in just a minute. But there's a place that God's trying to elevate us to. Here the Bible states that our faith needs testing. It needs to be tried. Go back with me to Job, the book of Job. It's right before Psalms. Psalms is right in the middle of your Bible. If you close your Bible, open up to the middle of Psalms, and go to the left, one book. Job, chapter 23. Job, chapter number 23. You see, the only way to get impurities out of our lives sometimes is for God to allow trials to happen. He's got to burn those impurities out. Job, chapter 23, look at verse number 10. It says, "But He knoweth the way that I take." God knows everything. "When He hath tried me," or tested me, or put me through the fire, when I've gone through the burden, when I've gone through the heaviness, what does the Bible say? "I shall come forth as gold." I shall come forth as gold. Sometimes God is trying to elevate us to a place that we cannot get to were it not for the trial, were it not for the heartache. Notice, I'll give you a little illustration. It's been said that a bar of steel, Brother Throw was working at a metal yard earlier in life. Did a lot of different smelting. He and I have talked about different things, burning down aluminum and things burning at different degrees and having these different smelters and things. It's been said that a bar of steel worth $5 can be made into horseshoes that are worth $10. Okay? Now that same bar of steel can also be burned down to a thinner metal and be made into needles that are worth $350. Also, this same bar of steel can be melted down and made into a delicate spring for an expensive watch that could be worth $250,000. From one bar of steel that was originally worth $5. He said, there's not anything that can be done from that. There's nothing that can be made from that. It's just a chunk of metal. No, no. Under the right pressure, under the right temperature, under the right forging, it can be made into something that is usable. It can be made into something that is worthwhile. You see, the original bar of steel is made more and more valuable by being cut to size and passing through the heat, by being hammered, by being beaten, by being pounded, then finished, and then being polished. And then it's finally ready for the task it was created to do. And in our lives, sometimes we're that bar of steel. Sometimes we may look like we're not much. I know. I don't look like I'm much either. I understand. Okay? Most of us, we don't look like much. We're just ordinary people. We live paycheck to paycheck. We're just raising our family. We're just doing our thing. We're just old country rednecks. We're just living life. We're trying to make ends meet. We're trying to get by. We may not look like much to the world. But when God sees us, God sees the inner beauty. When God sees us, God sees the diamond in the rough. When God sees us, God sees the gemstone that's stuck and it needs to be hewn out of the rock. When God sees us, He doesn't just see a lump of coal, He sees the diamond on the inside. You see, when God sees us, He doesn't just see a black rock in the water, He sees the gold underneath the black. He sees everything in our lives that we often can't see, that others may not always be able to see. And we can look throughout the Word of God, time and time again, at different people that have gone through different trials and they've gone through different burdens. When think of King David, when he was anointed to be king and he was fighting for his life. Remember, he was the servant of Saul. He was the harp player. He was the great musician. He was the one that was there taking care of Saul and meeting his needs. And then Saul got jealous of him. And Saul tried to kill him on multiple occasions. David never once tried to usurp the throne from Saul. As a matter of fact, he had an opportunity to kill Saul. But instead, he went over there and he cut off part of his robe. And he chose not to touch the Lord's anointed. He chose to wait for the timing that God had planned and God had prepared. He said, well, why didn't God just remove Saul from the kingship and then insert David into his place? Because David may not have been ready at that time. Because David was going to be a man of war. And David had to learn how to defend himself. And David had to learn how to fight. And David had to learn how to maneuver. And he had to learn how to position himself around different armies. And it could be that God allowed him to go through the trials that he went through with Saul to develop him into the warrior that God wanted him to be as a conqueror of the king of, as King David, as the king of Israel, so that he could be a very bloody king and then provide an empire to his son, who never once had to shed blood as king. And we know that was King Solomon. So it could be that God allows trials to elevate us to a place that we don't quite see yet. We can look at Job. We're right here in Job chapter 23. You can go back to Job chapter 1 and 2 and see how Job lost everything. He was tried in every possible way that man could be tried. He suffered emotionally. He lost his children. He suffered financially. He was the richest man in the land. He lost everything, all the cattle, everything. He suffered socially. He was ostracized by everybody. Even his best friends turned their backs on him and blamed him for what he was going through. Now, who needs friends? Who needs enemies when you got friends like that, right? He suffered intimately. He had a wife that wanted nothing to do with him. As a matter of fact, she said, why don't you just curse God and die? He suffered intimately. He suffered mentally. Surely, as we go through the trials that we go through, we begin to beat ourselves up in the mind. And we begin to wonder, what else could I have done to make it better? Why am I going through this? What did I do wrong? Well, just think. Put yourself in Job's shoes and the things that he went through. Of course, he was beating himself up mentally. God, what did I do? God, what am I going through? But the Bible says in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job suffered physically. The Bible says that he had boils from the tops of his head to the bottom of his feet. And he took a potsherd, broken pieces of clay pottery, and he scraped the boils off of his arms. and off of his legs. He was in immense pain. He suffered physically. Job suffered in every way imaginable. But never once are you going to find Job cursing God. Never once are you going to find Job in a position where he questions whether or not God loved him. You see, our faith, let me just speak generally. All of our faith, we're very, very fickle. We have very shallow faith and trust in God. Because oftentimes when things don't go our way and we come into the smallest of battles, oh God, where are you at? Don't you love me? Think of what Job went through and the trials that he faced. Understand, God may allow us to suffer, number one, because there's a place God's trying to elevate us to. And in order for us to be able to climb the mountain, you've got to be able to endure the hardships. I love reading after different athletes. And some of the most interesting athletes are mountain climbers. You say, that's not a sport. Okay. You tell that to the guys that conquer and climb Mount Everest or K2 or Mount Kilimanjaro. All right. Those guys, they train. And they study, and they know the weather patterns, and they know exactly how far they can travel day in and day out, and they know exactly what to do so that when they get to certain areas of the mountain, that their water packs don't freeze over, so they can be able to survive. You see, many of people on the way to Mount Everest, it's lined with dead bodies, because people that have tried to get up there and haven't. They didn't succeed. But you've got several who have conquered those mountains. Why? Because it took training. It took endurance. It took hardships. It took some neglect of things. Sometimes it took some hardening and some breaking in their lives. You see, there's a place God's trying to elevate us to. He wants us to get to that mountain to be with Him. He wants us to have that position in our lives. He wants to elevate us to a place where we can help somebody else. We're going to get to that in a moment. But sometimes in order to be able to get to the place where God wants us to be at, we have to go through the trial. Go with me to Psalms while we're over here in Job. Go to Psalms chapter 119. Let me show you this verse and we're going to move on to the next point. Psalms 119, look at verse 71. Psalms 119, verse number 71. Psalms 119, 71, it says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." Most of us don't say that. It was good for me that I had been afflicted. Brother Brandon, you got blown up twice. I'm sure during the midst of that, you weren't saying, man, it was good to be blown up. You weren't saying that. It was a hard trial. It was not fun. It wasn't enjoyable. But notice what it says. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why? That I might learn thy statutes. It was good that God allowed this affliction to come into my life. Why? Because through that, I began to seek after God. Through that, God's Word began to become real in my life. Through that, I realized that God had preserved my life. Why? Because He had a plan for me. It was good that I had been afflicted. Why? That I might learn thy statutes. There's some things that I learned through all of it. Why does God allow us to suffer? Number one, God allows us to suffer because there's a place God's trying to elevate us to. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Sometimes God may allow you to suffer, and God may allow trials. Secondly, and we're not going to spend much time on this one, it may be there's a problem that you refuse to get right in your life. It may be there's a problem that you're refusing to get right in your life. Sometimes bad things happen because God's trying to shake us to get our attention, because there's some things we need to get right with Him. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse number 5. We'll read a few verses here. "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him." Don't give up. Don't faint. Don't quit. "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." God's going to allow some things to happen in your life because He loves you. Listen, God loves you no matter where He found you, but He loves you too much to leave you in the state that He found you in. God wants to mold you and to shape you into someone who can bring honor and glory to Him. He loves us. "Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. That means you're illegitimate. You're claiming to be a child of God, but you're not. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence, respect. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? I'm not going to take a raise of hands, but we've all had parents that have raised us, and many times they've had to chastise us. My father had his belt of chastisement. We're not going to go there. I remember that. And we reverenced my father because we knew the judgment was coming and you didn't enjoy that. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits? Sometimes God may have to chastise us as a father does his child. Verse 10. For they, verily, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. Why did God allow it? For my profit. Why did God allow the trial? Because he wanted me to learn something. For our profit. That we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present time seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Ain't that the truth? None of us enjoy trials. Nobody does. Nevertheless, afterward, what? It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It's hard, but there's going to be a blessing that comes. Amen. We can give the illustration of a woman who's pregnant with a child and goes through 9 months of labor. And while that may be hard, the pains many times are forgotten after that child's born and you hold them in your arms. Right? It's a mother's love. And many times we bypass the pains that we've faced and the hard times. We'll bring it up later in life and tell them how ornery they were. My wife does that with our kids. She tells Ethan, I couldn't have chocolate when I was pregnant with you. I threw it up every time. You were ornery. With Hannah, it was Taco Bell and Mexican food. She couldn't have it. She said, my daughter hated me. Wouldn't let me have my favorite food. And we reference those things and we laugh about it now. But we wouldn't change it for the world. Wouldn't change it for the world. Why? Because it yielded the peaceable fruits of righteousness. It helped to mold us. It helped to shape us. There's a place God's trying to elevate us to. But also there's a problem sometimes that we choose not to get right. And we're not going to go there. But 1 Corinthians 11:30. The Apostle Paul, reference to the Lord's Supper, says, for this cause many sleep and are sickly among you. Okay? There's some that are choosing not to get right with God. And what's going to happen? The judgment of God is going to come in their life. Now listen, I'm not saying that's the only reason why everybody suffers. I'm not saying that at all. Don't take it the wrong way. Please don't take it the wrong way. We suffer in life. This is just one of the reasons it may be. I don't know what we're going through. First, there may be a place God's trying to elevate you to. Secondly, that may be that there's a problem that God's trying to get right in your life, but you choose not to get it right. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to move on to the next one. You're still in Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews chapter 3. I saw this truth the other day in my daily devotions. I was reading through some different things in Hebrews. Notice, Hebrews chapter 3, look at verse number 11. Here it says, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So some people, here he's talking to those that are saved, brethren, he says, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, not believing that God has your best interest in mind. And what does that cause? It causes you to depart from the faith. In verse number 12, in departing from the living God. It causes you to get out of church. See, sometimes people end up getting out of church when they go through trials because they don't believe that God has their best interest in mind. You see it right here in the verse 12. But look at verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. But what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to encourage one another in the Word of God Because if we don't get encouragement from God's Word, our hearts will get hardened in unbelief. And it'll be harder and harder and harder to get back right with God. Sometimes God allows you to suffer because there's a place He wants to elevate you to, but sometimes God allows us to suffer because there's a problem that we're not choosing to get right. Thirdly, go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter number 22. I love this specific passage of Scripture and the truth that it reveals. Luke chapter number 22. Go to verse number 31. Sometimes God allows us to suffer because there's a place He's trying to elevate us to. Sometimes God allows us to suffer because there's a problem in our lives that we choose not to get right. Sometimes God allows us to suffer, thirdly, because there may be people down the road that God wants us to help by experience of what we've gone through. Notice Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. By the way, He references Peter a lot because Peter has a knack for putting his foot in his mouth. We can attest, amen. I've been there. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Satan wants to destroy you. But notice the next six words in verse 32. But I have prayed for thee. The sweet, calming assurance knowing that we have an advocate, which is Jesus Christ with a heavenly Father. 1 John 2:1. Knowing that God Himself prayed for us. Man, that'll do something for your faith right there. Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He says, but I have prayed for thee. You see, the difference between Peter being a failure and a success for God was that somebody prayed for him. Then notice, what did he pray for? That thy faith fail not. Why? Because he is going to be tried in his faith. It goes with what we've been talking about in 1 Peter 1. That thy faith fail not. Notice, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now the word converted here literally means when you are changed into what I want you to become. The word converted means to be changed. So here God wasn't saying, when you finally get saved, that's not what God was saying. Peter was already a child of God at this time. He says, when you're converted or when you're changed into what I want you to become, when you become the person that I intend for you to be, when you become a little bit stronger in your faith, when you become a little bit more steadfast in your resolve, then, notice what he says, strengthen thy brethren. Because of the things that you're going to endure in your life, you can help somebody else down the road because you've had your faith tried. And what are we supposed to do? Strengthen the brethren. Strengthen the brethren. See, there's going to be trials that you face in life, and there's going to be hard times that you face in life, and you may not always understand why you're going through it at this very moment, but it may be that God's allowing that trial to happen because 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 years down the road, God may allow your past to cross with somebody who is now currently going through what you went through. And by way of your experience, you can help strengthen the brethren. You can help to encourage the brethren. That's why it's so important. Listen, young people, this is why it's so important to talk with these older men and women of faith. This is why it's so important to talk to those that have been in church for a long time. Like Miss Goins and Miss Betty, they're 90 years old. They've got a lot of wisdom that they can share with us on how to live for God. Brother and Miss Thoreau have been serving God for over 45 years together in the ministry. They got a lot of wisdom on how they can help young people to be able to continue to stay faithful to the things of God. And we can go throughout the church on different folks that got this wisdom that they can share with others. They didn't get that wisdom overnight, though. Listen to me, young people. When you come to church, listen, you see one another every day of the week. Those of you, especially those of you that are in Christian school, you see each other every day. All right? When you come to church, don't get in your little cliques talking with all your little friends. Spread out and talk to these adults. Get to know these adults. Get to know some of their stories. Get to know some of the truths that they have in their lives. One of the things I learned as a young person, as a teenager, was get to know some of these older men and women of God and see what God did in their lives and learn from them. Because the Bible says they're to be teachers of us. That the aged women are to teach the younger women how to be chaste, how to be keepers of home, how to serve God. And the men ought to do the same thing. Sometimes God allows us to go through trials because there are people down the road that He wants us to help. There are those that He wants us to strengthen. The Bible tells us over in John chapter number 17, and don't go there, but write it down, look it up later. John chapter 17, verses 9, verse 15, and verse 20. John 17, verse 9, verse 15, verse 20. Look it up later on. Jesus Christ prayed for Peter here in Luke chapter number 22. But the Bible says in John chapter 17 that He prayed for us as well. He prayed for us. He prayed that God wouldn't just take us out of the world, but that He would keep us from the evil that was in the world. And He prayed for these that were with Him, that was His disciples, and then for them that God would later give Him. And that's us. God prayed for us. See, you can go through a lot when you know that God is on your side. He made us the promise, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Here, God wanted Peter to be changed into what he wanted to become. See, God wants you sometimes to go through trials. He wants to mold and shape your life because there's somebody down the road somewhere that you can help. And God may have intended for you to be the only one that crosses their path. You see, you have a circle of influence that I don't have. You have associates that you're with that I'm not with. You have people that you can reach that I can't reach. And you have experiences that you faced in your life that God can use to help them come to Christ when they would never listen to me. And every one of us need to understand that. God may allow this trial. God may allow this heartache. God may allow this burden because there's somebody down the road God wants me to help. While I may not enjoy this burden, while I may not enjoy this trial, while this experience that I'm going through may have been lasting for the last 18 months and I don't understand why I'm going through this anymore, and God hasn't answered yet, we can ask all those questions. It may be that God's trying to mold you into something. And God wants you to help somebody down the road. And the only way we can learn it is we've got to be able to walk in their shoes. And as we walk in those shoes, then we can walk hand in hand with that person later on as they go through it. You see, it may be God's allowing you to go through a trial because one day down the road, your children are going to go through the same thing. And God wants you to help them. So the Bible says in Proverbs, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. You see, the simple, they are those who don't listen to counsel. The simple are those that don't listen to the authorities. They're those that won't go to the aged man and woman to listen to their experiences. The Bible says a lot about our experience and our growth. So it may be God's allowing you to suffer, number one, to elevate you to a place that He wants to take you to. It may be, secondly, there's a problem in your life that you're refusing to get right. Thirdly, it may be there are people that God's going to allow you to come in contact with that only you can help and nobody else can. And then lastly, number four, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. God may be allowing this trial because there's a power that He wants to put on you. There's a power that He wants to put on you. And sometimes He can't do that until we face the trials. We're going to look at the Apostle Paul here for the last couple of minutes. Now, arguably, the Apostle Paul, of course, other than Jesus Christ, is probably the greatest example of what a Christian ought to be for the glory of God. God used the Apostle Paul to write 14 different books in the New Testament. He went on 3 different missionary journeys. The Apostle Paul had made a difference in so many different people's lives. But it wasn't always that way. He was the great persecutor, known as Saul of Tarsus. He was the one that wreaked havoc on Christianity. And then when God saved him, He wreaked havoc on the devil and hell. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, here, verse number 1, it says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." Here He begins to give us a little bit of an enlightenment of what God's done in His life. Verse 2, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven." This is referencing when the Apostle Paul was stoned and left for dead outside of Lystra 14 years prior. and where he said he may have died and gone on to heaven, or it may have just been a time where God allowed him to see certain things. He doesn't know. But God knows. Verse 3, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. He said, I have seen things that man has not seen. I know things, and God's revealed things to me that other people have never seen. And I have all of that stored up here in my mind, and it's in my heart. And I want to be able to share these things. But notice what the Bible says. Verse 5, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Here the Apostle Paul is saying, I've seen all these visions from God. God's given me the opportunity to write 14 books of the New Testament. God's given me things that other people have not had. I've been exalted among man to a level that other men have not been exalted to. Now, anybody else could have taken that and become very, very arrogant and foolish, as most of us would. Well, I know all this stuff. You don't know who you're talking to. You don't know my title. Okay. The Apostle Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure. What did God do in verse 7? Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me. He says, I recognize that God's allowed a heartache, a trial to come into my life. Because God's given me so much to give to everybody else. God does not want me to be exalted above measure. God wanted to humble me. God wanted me to understand that I'm just a frail man. And sometimes God may allow trials in our lives because He wants to put power on our lives. And He wants to work through us in such a way that others would be astounded by the grace of God in our lives. But He doesn't want us to get prideful. Okay? And sometimes God allows trials to happen because He's trying to squelch the pride in our lives. Now, most of us guys, we don't lack for confidence. We don't lack for arrogance. When I was a teenager, we'd get together, play sports, play ball games. I was, believe it or not, I was the loudest teenager around. I know it's hard to believe, okay? I understand. I was one of the more arrogant teenagers. Oh, we're going to play a game of 21. You got 15 guys out there. All right, give me the ball. I'm going to win. You ain't going to get shot off at all. I'm going to make every one of them. Okay. My wife can attest to it. I was an arrogant little brat, all right? Most guys, we don't lack for confidence, okay? We don't lack in the area of having arrogance and having self-confidence. But you know what we lack in? We lack in trusting God. Because of our arrogance and because of our self-worth and because of our self-confidence, we try to do everything on our own rather than allowing God to work through us. Paul was the same way. I think that's why Paul understood and God had to bring him to a point in his life where he realized, God's given me a thorn. That thorn was not enjoyable. As a matter of fact, as you read all the way down to verse number 10, you'll find he asked God on three separate occasions to remove the thorn in this flesh. He said, God, this thing is hindering me. I don't want it. It's not comfortable. I don't enjoy this. And he asked God to take it away. But you know what? God didn't. Sometimes God allows trials to happen because he wants to put his power on our lives. He wants to work in us in such a way it's going to bring honor and glory to Him, but it's got to make sure that we don't get exalted. He's got to make sure that we don't get elevated in our pride because it's so easy in the flesh. There's a power sometimes that God wants to put on us. Again, I don't know where you're at, spiritually speaking, this morning. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. It's been said time and again that either you're entering into a trial, you're currently in a trial, or you've just come out of a trial. And that's usually one of the three places where we're at in our lives. We've either just now gone into it, we are currently in it, or we just come out of one. Now in your life, when God's allowing you to suffer, I'm wanting to encourage you this morning, don't get bitter and mad at God. There's nothing wrong with asking questions. Jesus Christ on the cross said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's nothing wrong with asking questions on why God allows things to happen. But don't get so self-centered in the trials that you're going through that we focus on all the whys. Let us remember there's a who of the trial, and that is Jesus Christ. And there's a who that we need to draw close to in the midst of the trial that we're facing. It may be that God is trying to elevate us to a place that we can't get to otherwise. It may be there's a problem that we're refusing to get right. It may be there's people down the road that God wants us to help. Or it may just be that there's a power that God wants to tap in your life, and He can't put it on you until He puts a thorn in your flesh. He can't put it on you until you go through a trial. Why? Because you can't handle the power until you've experienced the trial. Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. Why does God allow us to suffer? Why do bad things happen to good people? There's a lot of reasons. I don't know where your reason's at this morning. I know trials are not enjoyable. I've been through my fair share. You've been through your fair share. And I know the trials that you've been through, most every one of us would attest to the fact that I wouldn't want anyone to go through what I've gone through. I wouldn't wish it on my enemy. And you probably made that statement. You wouldn't want anybody to go through it. But I want to encourage you this morning. God's trying to do something in your life. God's trying to mold you and shape you into someone that's better than what you currently are. And we've got to be able to accept of the will of God. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed.